The privilege to be able to bring Lord's word to you all this morning. You know, there's this man who was pushing a pram, you know, on the road. Obviously, in the pram there was a baby, right? We don't expect anything else in a pram. So the person was pushing the pram, and the baby was, you know, giving trouble. Probably he had learned something from Joash. So the baby was throwing a lot of tantrums and, you know, crying and all that stuff. So, and then this man kept on saying, "Keep cool, Andrew, keep cool, Andrew." You know, so a woman was passing by and she saw this and she was quite impressed and she couldn't, she couldn't resist commenting on it. So she bent down, played with the boy and said, "Hey, Andrew, you're a good boy, you got a great dad." And the man, you know, corrected her, saying, "Madam, his name is Anthony. I am Andrew." So if anything I say makes you angry today, remember to say, "Keep cool. Keep cool, Sam. Keep cool, Shere. Keep cool, Leslie." Right. Okay, so remember to keep cool if anything that I say makes you angry today. You know, over the past couple of months I've been following the BBS financial statements, you know, and I was a little disturbed with the what I call as the not so good status of the tithes and offerings. So then an opportunity was given to me to speak on a Thanksgiving day. I said, "Hey, great. You know, I should speak on tithes giving and, make the congregation understand their duties and responsibilities about the need to give to the church and how." So I went around preparing for the sermon on tithe and, collected a lot of sermon material on how tithe is, of course, covenanted in the Old Testament, but how it is not just in the Old Testament times, but is also brought up to the level of a sacrificial giving in the New Testament and, you know, stuff like that. So I was preparing a great sermon on tithing and giving. And then God spoke to me. God started speaking to me. He said, "Hey, look, this is Thanksgiving Day. So are you going to whine about people not giving? Are you going to whine about tithes? Is that really what you want to do? Are you thankful for what I have done? Aren't you thankful for this BBF, this fellowship that I have made in my name? Aren't you thankful that all your needs are getting met? What are you whining about?" And God was speaking to me and telling me about a very basic nature of, very basic nature of humanity. Something so basic to human nature, and God made me realize about this. So I want to speak about that. But before I speak about that, I want to show you a short movie clip. So sit back and enjoy. Don't go to sleep. How was it? Do we see ourselves in this? Do we connect with what is shown here? You know, this clip was taken from YouTube. This is from a talk show by Conan O'Brien. Okay. The person is a stand-up comedian called C.K. Lewis. And of course, I've done some editing to make sure that the non-churchy language is taken out, and you know, so that I don't get stoned here in the church. Now, I felt very connected with this clip because I feel myself doing it a lot often. I'm sure those of us who travel, how many times have you complained about delays in the flight? Or, you know, the in-flight entertainment system not working? Or, you know, the air hostess not being, you know, nice enough with us? Or, you know, whatever, right? How many times have we felt impatient about a computer, a laptop not booting up in milliseconds, or fraction of a second, or for youngsters, microseconds probably, right? My mobile phone not responding. How many times do we really, you know, have felt that things are not going well? And how many times have we felt in that category where we believe that the world owes us something that we didn't even know existed just 10 seconds before? How many times? You know, yeah, well, you know, it's amazing. But what's the message in it for us? What's the message in it for us? Is it impossible for human beings to be grateful? Is it so difficult that we can't be grateful, we can't be thankful for, you know, for everything? Is it basic human nature that, you know, we forget about the goodness that surrounds us, and, you know, do we often nurture what I call as the thanks-killing vices, like anger, jealousy, impatience, and, you know, whatever? How is it, you know? If you really look at the secular world, you know, you must have heard about this. A lot of motivational messages come to us, right? Saying, look at the silver lining in the dark clouds, okay? See the glass half full and not half empty, all right? Or count your blessings when things go wrong. And, you know, in the secular world, there are so many successful motivational speakers, right? And, of course, writers. And they become successful because there is a need. There is a need for humanity to be continuously reminded that there is goodness around, that God has created a perfect world, that there is, you know, there are things around us. And you know, and that's the situation even in a secular world. But how about us Christians? How about we who attend church regularly, who are good Christians, who read Bible, who know Bible? How about it? How about this? Ranjit started this morning with that beautiful, you know, reading from 1 Thessalonians 18, right? Now, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. Can someone read it, please, loud and clearly? Colossians 2, 6 and 7.
Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted, now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude.
Right. So where does it start? It starts with, just as you have received Christ, right? Now, to state the obvious, when do you become a Christian? Unless you are born in a Christian family, right? When you really become a Christian is when you accept Jesus Christ, right? So when you receive Jesus Christ, you become a Christian. So at the very beginning of your Christianity, at the very beginning of your Christian faith, Paul says that once you have received, you please live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and he ends the word with the punchline, overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. He's just not saying, asking you to be thankful. He's saying, overflowing with thankfulness. You know, the Message translation, I like the Message translation sometimes. The Message translation puts it like this. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you have been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master, now live in Him or live Him. You are deeply rooted in Him. You are well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you have been taught. Stop being students. School is out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. He ends with this. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving. You know, Paul. He's a great, proclaimer of thanksgiving, right? And so Paul knows that, you know, thanksgiving is one of the basic, it's not just one of the basic precincts of Christianity. It is the foundation of Christian faith. Thankfulness. If you really look at Paul's ministry, you'll see that, it is centered around thankfulness, right? Let's go to Colossians 1, 11 and 12. Colossians 1, 11 and 12. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Right? Joyfully giving thanks. And the Thessalonians, what he said, Ranjit has already read out this morning. Thessalonians 5:16-18, it says, in all circumstances, giving thanks, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Right? In all circumstances, give thanks. And of course, Paul is not a person who will just preach and let others practice. He practices what he preaches first. You know? And actually he practices something and then he preaches. You know, there is this subtle differentiation between walking the talk and talking the walk. You know, so Paul is a category of talking the walk. He practices it first and then he preaches about it. So he say, you know, look at his, how he writes to the Romans. He says in Romans 1:8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. When he writes to the church in Corinth, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has given you in Christ Jesus. And to the Ephesians, when he writes, he says in Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks to you for remembering you in my prayers. And these churches in Romans, churches in Rome, church in Corinth, church in Thessalonians, church in Ephesus, they were not the perfect churches, right? And he was actually writing to them because they have problems. But he starts by saying this, look, I know the problems that we are going through, but I give thanks to the Lord for you. Before I advise you, before I tell you what is to be done and what is not to be done, I still thank God that you are there. I still thank God that I have an opportunity to know you and to talk to you, to write to you. I am thankful. So he practices what he preaches, you know. So he is what we call as a Thanksgiving junkie. You know, he is very gung-ho about Thanksgiving. And he is, and those of us who have studied, who know the Bible, who know Paul's life and Paul's ministry, we cannot say that Paul had it all easy, right? We cannot say that it was fine. I mean, he could say thanks because, you know, he didn't have any problems. I'm sure none of us in this church sitting here can stand up and say, you've had a more difficult life than Paul, right? He had a tough life, and he was writing from prisons and shipwreck places and everything. And still he says, I thank God for you and for giving an opportunity for me. This is because he knows that thankfulness is not just one of the many virtues of Christianity. He knows that it is the founding characteristic of Christianity. Thankfulness is the founding characteristic of Christianity. Now, Paul not only looks at it from the positive side, as his style is, he also looks at it from the negative side. Let's turn to Romans again. Let's turn to Romans Romans 1:21-31. It's a passage which a lot of us avoid because it talks about the wrath of God in the New Testament, right? Not many of us would really love to know the wrath of God in the New Testament. We want to believe in the grace of God. But then there is this wrath of God, and Paul explains how humanity falls. What is the reason behind this? And if you really read the first verse itself, Romans 1:21 alone, he says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their," etc. But where does it start? He starts it saying humanity's fall starts when you refuse to know God and give thanks to him. So in Paul's opinion, it is not lust or greed or impatience or anger and other things that starts the fall. It is the ungratefulness of man that starts the fall of humankind and invites the wrath of God. It is that. And then, of course, this passage from 21 to 31 goes on to say how human beings fall from one to another, you know, tumbling down and down, till in 131 he says that humankind becomes foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. What strong words he uses to describe when man fails to give thanks. And it all starts with failing to give thanks to God. So there is this positive side of giving thanks, and there is, of course, this negative side of giving thanks. If we don't give thanks, what happens to us? And again, as Christians, we need to be aware of this. Now, we can probably understand all this, and all of us try our best to give thanks when something happened well, when our prayers get answered, when our businesses are going well, when our sicknesses get healed. Multiple things, when we get a right partner, when we get our promotions and increases, and, you know, all such stuff. And we do give thanks. We do give thanks. We stand up and praise God. We share our testimonies and say, "Thank you, Lord." Right? But Paul makes it very difficult in Ephesians 5:20. I want you to turn to that. And I want us to underline a few words there. Ephesians 5:20. Can we read this?
Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, even the Father.
Right. And, the NIV puts it as giving thanks always and in everything to God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to underline this word, always and in everything or for everything, whichever way your translation puts it. Some of the translations put it as in everything. Some of the translations put it as, for everything. Now, this reminds me of a story. There was an old Christian lady who used to always come out of the house and stand in front of the house and praise the Lord in the morning. Unfortunately or fortunately for her, the person who was staying next to her was an atheist. So every time this lady used to come out and say, "Praise the Lord," this person will shout out, "There is no God." Okay? So, and this went on. This used to go on, on a daily basis. And this lady, of course, used to just smile and go back to her house and continue with her work. But as time went by, this lady fell into financial difficulties. She had difficulties in meeting her own needs. And, so one day came when she didn't even have money to buy her rations. For her provisions. And so she came out, she said, "Lord, I don't have anything. I don't know how my provisions will come. And I'm just leaving it in your hands. But praise the Lord." And this man still said, "There is no God." And she went inside, smiled and went inside. And the next day morning, she came out and she saw that in front of her house, there was this, basket of provisions, all the rations that she needed for a month. So she was obviously very happy. She said, "Praise the Lord." And suddenly this man, the atheist, jumped out of the bush and said, "There is no God. I bought those provisions and left it in your front porch." The lady smiled and said, "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you not only provided me the rations, you also made Satan pay for it." But jokes apart, it is not easy for each one of us to be thankful always. When Paul says, be thankful always and in everything, that is where many of us Christians draw the line. And practically so. It is not possible for me to be happy happy always. It's not possible for me to give thanks when I have to wake up on Sunday morning early to come and sit through a boring church service. It is not easy for me to thank God when I have to travel through Bangalore traffic to a job that I hate. It is not easy for me to give thanks when my maidservant doesn't turn up and I have guests at home. Thank God always? Paul, are you joking? And then he adds, he doesn't stop there, he says, thank God for everything. Do I thank God for an abusive husband that I have? Do I thank God for an unfaithful wife that I have? Do I thank God for a disobedient child that I got? Do I thank God for the cancer that I am suffering from? Do I thank God for the bullying boss that I have in my office? Thank God for everything. I mean, we can always say that, look, I draw the line here, Paul. I can't do it. It is humanly impossible for me to thank God always and in everything. You know what? Paul knew that too. Paul knew that as human beings, it is impossible for us to give thanks in always and in everything by ourselves. And that's where I want you to turn back to Ephesians 5:20. How does that verse end? Ephesians 5:20. How does the verse end? In the name of Lord Jesus. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this term is what I call it, the miracle term, or the miracle phrase. And this miracle phrase has been inserted into so many of our prayers that most of the time we don't even notice it. We just say it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about it. It doesn't strike us that what does that really mean, that there is a power in that particular phrase. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I recommend you that you circle that phrase and mark it off as a miracle phrase. Miracle phrase for us. Because as human beings, it is not possible for us to give thanks always and in everything. It is just not possible. And if we try, as human beings, to be thankful, we are only setting ourselves up for failure. But Paul says that we can do it in and through Jesus Christ. Remember, there is nothing impossible when we try doing things through Jesus Christ. It is not that we can do it, but it is that Jesus has done something in us and through us, even when we were ungrateful. Even when we were ungrateful. Even when we were sinners, what did Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ died for us. Not because we were grateful. Not because we were grateful, but even when we were sinners. And, that's where the realization or the ability for us should start. You know, it should start with a great negative. The great negative being that we cannot be grateful. We cannot have thankfulness in our hearts by ourselves. It is impossible. The very thing that we have been asked to do, we can't do it for everything. We can't do it always. To give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus begins with admitting that great negative and our powerlessness as human beings, our powerlessness to be able to do that, except when we allow Jesus Christ to work in and through us, in and through us. You know, and that is when things will turn around. When we admit that is when things will turn around and God will start working in us. Through Jesus Christ. He's already done that. He comes to us to do the work of thanksgiving in us, revealing us that it is not so important that we can realize that we can do everything through Jesus Christ. But more importantly, that Jesus can do things through us if we allow Him to do things through us. So it is important for us to realize that. And then then we really realize that thankfulness is a gift. Thankfulness is a gift given along with the grace that God has given to us. It is a gift that we can accept. And you know, if you go to Romans again, Romans 5, 6 to 8, where you know it describes the great salvation. Can someone read that?
At just the right time, when you are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
And just to paraphrase a little bit, when we were still powerless, when we were still ungrateful, when we were still struggling with thanklessness, when we were still ungrateful, Jesus, God sent His Son, that we can, you know, claim that thankfulness as a gift from God and thereby be grateful for what He has done to us, what He has done to us. You know, and that's the time when we realize that this need to give thanksgiving is so high that we cannot reach by ourselves, and we need God, we need Jesus Christ, we need Jesus Christ in our life to be able to live that life of thankfulness. Can we all stand? And there's a song which gives thanks. I think it is. Can someone help me with the guitar? This is song number 544. There is a Redeemer. Shall we all stand, please, for this? Close our eyes, look up to the Lord, silence our minds, and think about what is the message that Jesus Christ wants us to give this morning to us. this Thanksgiving Sunday, this morning, Jesus is asking us to receive this gift of thankfulness that he knows that we cannot be unless it is done through him. He knows that we cannot do it alone. This morning, he is calling us to live in him. Live in him so that thankfulness will overflow in our lives. It will spill over in our living. So that he can make it possible for us if we accept him. This morning, each one of us may be at different levels when it comes to our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Wherever we are, can we commit to the Lord that we will allow him to work in us? We will allow Jesus Christ to work in us this morning so that we can give thanks always and for everything. And for those of us who are yet to make a commitment, yet to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, yet to enter into a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ, may I suggest that this is the only way that we can live a life of thankfulness and request you to consider making that commitment and giving up your life to Christ. Father, we want to thank you. We praise you. We glorify you for this morning, Lord. Father, we want to thank you for giving us a day when we can just think about thanksgiving. And Lord, come into your presence, knowing, Lord, that we are powerless, knowing, Lord, that we are incapable, knowing, Lord, that we are human beings, knowing, Lord, that we are sinners, but, Lord, that you have loved us and you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, even when we were sinners, even when we were ungrateful. Lord, we want to thank you this morning. We want to ask you, Lord, to continue to help us to walk, to accept Jesus Christ so that he can work in us and through us, Lord, so that we could be thankful. We praise you. We glorify you. We bless you for the very life that you have given us, and for the very breath that we can breathe. We thank you for everything that surrounds us, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, we will be careful not to close this day as one day in a year to give thanks, but Lord, to know what your commandment is, to give thanks always and in everything. And Lord, we will be careful to do that through Jesus Christ. Yes. We love you, we adore you, we bless you, we glorify you. And this day, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.